Third consecutive week he's picked up an honor from the CFL. Second time in 3 weeks he's been both the CFL Offensive Player and the Canadian Player of the Week. And he was a huge part of just something incredible. I mean, every once in a while, not every year, not every 2 years, but every once in a while you watch and you see something like we saw on Saturday at McMahon Stadium that just you're trying to wrap your head around it 4 days later. 40-33, the Stampeders over the Toronto Argonauts. Our next guest played a role in that as well. Very pleased that Anthony Parker from the Calgary Stampeders can join us. Do you agree with that assessment? Not every year, but every once in a while, there's a game kind of like that one.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Every once in a while, you know, I think to this extent now, I'd have to say that one was, you know, one for maybe for the decade. I don't know, but
sure.
It was a pretty impressive thing to be a part of, and you know, as you guys were mentioning there, just a special performance from John Cornish as well there.
But in fairness, there was a lot of special performances. I mean, one guy that I thought just was terrific and maybe didn't get a lot of credit, but based on injuries, was Daquan Evans. I mean, there was nobody left on the defensive line, yet he was another beast out there.
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, he's a stud out there, and he, you know, we've all been asking him for the last few weeks, hey, man, when are you going to be back? When are you going to be back? Because we all just want to see him get out there and do what he does. I mean, he can eat up, you know, two blockers by himself, no problem, and it's pretty cool to watch. And, yeah, I think he probably didn't get the credit he deserved. You know, I think he put that extra little bit of effort in on that last play to force that interception there. And those are little things that go unnoticed. But, you know, he did a fantastic job stepping in there with all the injuries.
Anthony, we want to watch and we want to say, okay, that's the turning point, or I think that's. But on that, on your sideline, when did that game get away from you, and when did that game come back to you as a member of the Stampeders?
You know what, I would say it never really got away from us. It was interesting, just the resolve and the character of this team, right? We were sitting on the sidelines and there was never that moment, you know, I've been on many teams before, you know, there's never that moment where we kind of were like, oh, well, I guess that's it. You know, it never got to that stage. We were never beyond the point of no return.
Right.
And so I would say in terms of the turning point was getting that drive before the half, scoring points. And then just getting into halftime and having a little bit of a moment to kind of reflect, relax a little bit, and refocus ourselves and be able to put forth that effort that we needed to in that second half.
Is it too cliche, Anthony, to talk about leadership in the locker room at halftime? Were there speeches made? Did anybody say anything? I mean, you're into your fourth season. Was there a role for you in saying anything? What was it like inside at halftime?
The big thing, and I mean, obviously, it's been well documented. You know, everybody saw what happened on the sideline with Nick Lewis. You know, and he's always been a vocal guy, and
right.
You know, he was there just to kind of reinstill that confidence in everybody. But I would say the big thing was that we were just constantly being as encouraging as we could for each other. You know, letting people know. I mean, you know, I know Cote felt bad after the fake punt. You know, didn't go the way we wanted to. You know, we all just wanted to let him know and let everybody know, hey, we got your back. You know, it's no big deal. You know, we've been in worse situations and we'll get out of this one. And I got to be honest with you, I've never seen, I don't think I've ever seen Huff as calm as he was at halftime. So that was a unique experience. You know, really there was no yelling, nothing crazy like that. It was just a calm result.
Well, you know what? That probably tells you more about leadership than anything, right? It's, you know, everybody can yell, everybody can scream, everybody can lose their mind, but there's a time and a place, isn't there?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more there. I mean, you know, you see a lot of coaches that yell and scream all the time. And I think that in large part, the players just get desensitized. You know, you get used to that act. And I think to just have an even keeled coaching staff that just lets you know, hey, the plays are out there to be made. You know, we believe in this room, we've got the talent in this room to get it done. And let's go prove it. And that's really all that need to be said. And I think that we really responded well to that.
Anthony Parker, the Calgary Stampeders, is our guest. They say timing is everything, Anthony. Yesterday, you along with your teammates Randy Chevrier and Keon Raymond, and in conjunction with the Alberta Council of Women's Shelters, launched the Leading Change program. Tell me what Leading Change is.
Leading Change, in terms of this program for us, is basically being equipped with the tools to go out and deliver a message that is going to hopefully change things for the positive. And basically what we're doing in our campaign is speaking out against domestic violence and abuse against women. And it's something that we're all aware of. We know that it takes place, but we think, you know, maybe it's one of those things that happens behind closed doors and, you know, it's kind of brushed under the rug for the most part. And it's really a much larger issue than what most people realize. And as you said, timing is everything, and it's really interesting. You know, I think there couldn't be a better time for this, given what's going on with the Ray Rice situation in the NFL. And I think that it's just been really cool that we were able to get this launch done right around the same time, completely unplanned. But yeah. Luckily, you know, it worked out that way. And so the awareness was already up for people. People were intrigued in this topic. And to be able now to go and deliver the message that we're delivering is a really, really cool and a really special time for us.
Anthony, tell me about your training, because this isn't just a, hey, can you go do this afternoon? The three of you, and I understand some members of the Edmonton Eskimos, you guys had to do a little bit more than just show up.
That's right. We had like a full intensive training schedule. It was back in March. We went up to Edmonton. Got together with the Eskimos and actually some members of the BC Lions as well.
Okay.
They've been running a similar program for the last few years and have had great success with that. And so I think that, you know, the Eskimos and the Stamps really wanted to get on board and see what we could do to make change, you know, and lead change in our community. But as far as our training went, it was 3 days straight of intensive training. It was about, I'm going to say it was about 8-hour days that we were just pretty much in and out of conference room. Going over basically the ins and outs of this domestic violence issue and helping ourselves to better understand the gender inequalities that there are in society today. And then also from that point, equipping ourselves, as I mentioned before, with the tools to lead change. How are we going to deliver this message and how are we going to equip other people with the tools to make a difference, you know, in leading this movement?
Why was it important for you, Anthony, to be part of this?
For me, it was important. You know, it's kind of a no-brainer off the bat when you think about the issue itself. Seems pretty simple. You know, you're against this type of thing, and you want to make a stand against it. That part of it was simple. But for me, it's also close to home in that the women in my life have been directly affected by domestic violence and abuse against women. So they've directly had that association. And I think it made it that much more important for me to be involved. And it's been a really eye-opening experience to this point, just seeing how big of a pandemic it really is. You know, as I said before, it seems like it's that, yeah, it happened, yeah, I've heard about that, you know, or whatever. But really, this is happening every single day. And with the Alberta Council of Women Shelters, they've had, I believe last year it was 6,000 women and their children use shelters last year to get out of a domestic violence type of situation. And that's just the ones that were admitted. That doesn't include the ones that are turned away, that there wasn't space for. And it really is a huge issue, and we're just trying to take a stand against it.
Anthony Parker, the Calgary Stampeders, is our guest. Yesterday, helping to unveil in Calgary a leading change program. How will you execute this program, Anthony?
Well, the big thing now is, like you said there, we got our launch done yesterday at St. Mary's, and our target audience is obviously young men, you know, young teens. Really, ultimately, this is a man's issue. You know, it's not women for the most part beating men. You know, it's men doing it. So that's our target audience, to try and get them before this becomes an issue. So what we're doing is trying to get involved. We're getting into schools. We're going to be holding even bigger events than what we did yesterday. Yesterday was kind of that little taste, just a little teaser to get things going. And we plan to revisit that school at St. Mary's there, and also now go forward. And as the off season comes along, a couple schools a week, get in there, have all the men in the school get involved in this type of assembly environment, and just do exercises to explain everyday scenarios that happen that we have come to understand as commonplace, essentially. You know, we're so desensitized because, there, you know, the whole sex sells thing, all that kind of stuff is going on each and every day. And we kind of were like, oh, that's just the way it's meant to be, I guess, instead of looking at it for what it is and understanding the inequalities that are taking place.
You touched on the incident south of the border. I'm curious how this training, this program, the fact that, You're a professional football player. It's not your league, but it's still your profession. How have you viewed what's transpired here over the last couple of weeks in the NFL with Ray Rice and with Adrian Peterson, with all of the conversation and the controversy that's going on?
Well, I think there's two things to say. So when you look at the Ray Rice situation, I got to say that I think we can all agree that it was wrong. It's pretty, you know, if you've seen the video, it's pretty graphic. It's, I would say for most people, probably pretty difficult to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing with him is it's unfortunate because it paints everybody in a bad light that plays professional sports, essentially.
Right.
You know, we've always been given that stereotype, yeah, big, tough guy, whatever, get into trouble, all that kind of stuff. And it is a major issue in the NFL right now. And you know, I can't speak on the CFL because I don't see it with my team, but I'm sure there's the issues there somewhere.
Sure.
And I think that the important thing for people to remember is that for every one of those guys, there's 10, 15, 20, 30 guys that are just stand-up guys that are trying to do the right thing. And, you know, I think that there's going to be the support that Ray needs to, you know, to handle his situation. And I believe that he does regret the situation. It's unfortunate. But again, you got to have those resources there to help everybody. And maybe had he been a part of a program like this, you know, when he was a youngster in high school, you know, maybe it never would have escalated to that point. And that's really what we're trying to do. And then I think when you look at the Adrian Peterson situation, I think that it kind of emphasizes what I said about being desensitized.
Yeah.
You know, he grew up that way. You know, that's the way he was disciplined as a kid. And he never really looked at it from a greater perspective, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that he never looked at it from a bigger perspective of how really using corporal punishment is not okay anymore. And he just said, you know what, this is the way that it was done with me, and he's going to continue that. And that really emphasizes the point of just of not looking at things from a greater perspective and understanding that just because these are the way things have been done, that doesn't mean that it's the right way to do it going forward.
Really appreciate this. I was going to ask a few more football questions, but quite honestly, I just don't want to take away from the message. I think what you are doing along with Randy and Keon, what the Eskimos and the Lions are doing, where the moment of time that we're at, I think you deserve a lot of credit. I know there was a lot of people proud of the Stampeders for the effort on Saturday. I hope those same people are even more proud of what you guys are doing. Anthony, congratulations on this.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.